Welcome to the We Are Here podcast, a podcast all about entrepreneurship on the South Coast, collecting stories and lessons from entrepreneurs and community leaders to learn firsthand how they've built their business or organization so we can build our own. The South Coast is a small place, and we're letting the business world know that we are here. Show your support by liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/thewearehere podcast and join the newsletter for all of our latest announcements and upcoming episodes at southcoast.fm/subscribe. That's southcoast.fm/subscribe.
The We Are Here podcast, only on southcoast.fm. Don't forget to subscribe, southcoast.fm/subscribe. Join the mailing list where every Sunday, quite literally, I can't believe it, I send out an email all about business. I send out an email all about podcasting, content creation. And if you haven't joined yet, join the South Coast Content Creators Group. It's free. It's on Facebook. And there's a ton of business owners. And when I say a ton, maybe not a ton, there's about 100 or so business owners in this Facebook group. And we're sharing all the stuff that we do around content marketing, driving business online. And my God, now more than ever, there's so many people doing business online because they have to. And it's a great community. It's a great group. South Coast Content Creators Group. Search for it on Facebook. Today's guest, Suzanne Ramos. It would take me an hour to go through all of the jobs that she has listed on her LinkedIn profile, but I'll hand over the reins to Suzanne to give us that two-minute elevator pitch. Suzanne, welcome to the program. Tell folks who you are and what you do.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for having me on today. My name's Suzanne Ramos, and I am primarily a mom of two, of Harrison and Lily. She's three, he's five. So that's my main job, but professionally, I work at Diamond Regional in Fall River. It's a vocational school. I've been there for over 10 years, almost 15 years, taking on different roles. I was first started as a substitute. Then I went on as the co-op coordinator, so finding jobs for our seniors. And now I'm a business technology instructor at the junior level. I also did graduate from Diamond, but from the machine shop program. And my co-op job was at Texas Instruments as a machinist for several years before I started moving into the education world. So that's my job, but I also have, as you mentioned, other jobs. So I work at Greater Fall River Partners for a Healthier Community, Greater Fall River Recreation, and United Neighbors of Fall River. For all three, I do their website development, all their promotional materials for brochures, programs that they're having to market them to the public and community members. We provide trainings for health professionals in the industry. I also do some bookkeeping, financial documents, some budgets for the state. So kind of like all over the place.
Nice. Yeah. So my show has been predominantly New Bedford because so many folks that I know are running businesses in New Bedford. I live in Fall River. I have for the last, I think, 14 years. I can't even remember when I moved here. So I'm excited to have more Fall River presence. I also had Patty Rigo on last time. So she's a
I know dominant. Patty. Yeah. I met Patty at United Neighbors.
So it's great to have sort of a dominant presence for Fall River. When we first crossed paths, it was last year at the South Coast Emerging Leaders Award. I heard somebody give your bio about what you were doing at Diamond, specifically in the technology space and specifically for entrepreneurship and software and web technology. That's a big part of my life. So I was very interested to have this conversation today. The job opportunities in the local market, I want to start with that and what you see as the biggest opportunities for students in this area for staying around here and not going to, let's say, a Boston, a New York, a San Francisco. Because when I was hiring students locally many years ago when I was running my agency, that was the challenge, right? These folks, these students were learning how to code, they were learning how to develop, but they were like, I want to get out of here. Like, I want to learn this and get out of the South Coast. And I think there's plenty of opportunity here, but I would love to hear you sort of frame that in your own world.
I agree. So for at least in our field, in our business technology, so in their junior year, they're allowed to go, they have the opportunity to go on co-ops. So they, instead of reporting to school, their schooling is at a work site. So I can tell you that by after January, we have so many job opportunities for our students, but we have to complete some of the framework. So our students get certified in Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, QuickBooks. So we like to get them all through all those before they actually go out on a job site. But we already have plenty of jobs before they have all the skill sets. So as far as opportunities, there's like an overabundance. Sometimes it's not that there isn't a job. Like sometimes it's the student doesn't have transportation to that job. So that's a bit of a challenge for our students. But most of our students have jobs, and they're in all different fields. They're in the health. They work at PrimaCare. They work at machine shops. They work at construction companies. So as far as job opportunities for our students and what they're learning, there is a ton of opportunities, and our students love their jobs, and they're getting paid really well. I mean, I rather had that job when I was in high school than the jobs that I started with. We get such great feedback. So I actually went to a job site right on the Tiverton line, and we have two students there. And at first, the owner said he was a little hesitant of hiring high school students because he typically hires from Bristol Community College. So this was a program that he hadn't heard that Diamond had. So he hired two of our students. He was showing me he was so thrilled with all of the work that they were able to do. They were able to create a spreadsheet of all the jobs that they had to do, what employee was working on it, how long it took for them to do the job, what they quoted on the job to show if they made a profit or a loss on that job so they can make adjustments. So they did that for him. He had asked to create an ad for the Chamber of Commerce, their paper. He's like, I thought it was going to take them all week. And he said less than a day. He's like, they came out with the most beautiful promotional piece to put on the newspaper. So they're leaving the school with like tons of skills. I mean, I wish I had that opportunity when I was in high school, as far as when it comes to like computer skills. And when I left as a machinist, the job opportunities were there as well. I think our school does a great job of preparing students for the world of work, because in our program, regardless if they decide to go to work or college, they're going to use the skills that they've learned.
Yeah, one of the things, so I mean, I grew up in business. It was around me all my life. My family owned a car dealership, so I was always involved in that. And it was just like running a business was always something that was just part of the family, was part of life. And I went to, you know, when I reflect on my college years or the very few years that were there, I remember going to UMass Dartmouth and you know, again, nothing wrong with the school. It was just me. And in that environment, I just did not thrive, right? You go into this general class of 300 people and attendance took 20 minutes. And then you had 20 minutes.
You know, by the last four digits of your social security number.
Yeah. Didn't work for me. Fast track over to Bristol Community College. I went through the IT program there. And one of the best things that they did that I really resonated with was their capstone course, much like yours, was put together a business. Frame all of this IT stuff you just learned and server configuration and management and all this stuff, and frame the whole thing as a business and quote unquote sell us on it. And this is how you'll get graded. And it was phenomenal because it's applying the real world stuff. Tell us about that capstone course for you and how you frame that for your students.
Well, our goal is to always give them practical scenarios, things that they're going to face in the real world. So for instance, I teach web design. So what we do to make it a practical thing, as opposed to just learning about web design and coding and all that, we work with nonprofit agencies in our community and we rebuild their website. So if they have forms, we make electronic forms. So we've made, we've designed logos and websites for the Diamond Bangle Education Foundation. We've worked with 9th Street Day Nursery and we built their whole website. We've worked with Greater Fall River Recreation and updated their website. So we've worked with multiple agencies in the community. Westport Associates was another one that we made their website. We're working with the Fall River Fire Department, the museum, to create their website. We've worked with a church this year to rebuild their website. All their forms were paper forms that people would have to download or copies. So they did electronic forms for this for people to fill out online or to download. So that is awesome, because then once and we put them in teams too. And one of the components of the project is you can fire a teammate. So you work as a team, and if you feel like the person isn't doing what they're supposed to, you can decide to fire that person. Then they have to build a website on their own. So that ensures, or helps to ensure, that everyone is taking part in the education. Everyone's playing a role in building this website, and it's just not left to one or two people to do it. The other thing is we do the entrepreneurship project. So that is their senior capstone project, where they have to create a business, and they start from scratch from when they decide what kind of business they want. They do a logo, a mission statement, a vision statement. They build the whole business plan. And then they can go as far as actually like putting it into practice. We've had students compete at Skills USA. They actually came in fourth place. We had students competing this year, and the same thing. It was a group of four students. They had to build a business. They actually did a resume one, where they did templates for resumes, cover letters, references, and then someone could purchase it. And someone who was not really good with Microsoft Word or publisher, they would just enter their information. And it came with resume paper, it came with envelopes, and then they had to do a presentation about their project and who their target audience was and why they decided to pick this particular business and why they felt it would thrive.
Nice. Yeah. As a person who spent his career, better part of his career, building websites for customers, I'd like to see you incorporate firing the client too, because we all know how that can be. I'm curious to know a little bit more about coupling students with nonprofits and providing them a solution like this. And how do you manage that expectation, right? How do you manage the expectation to that nonprofit where it's like, hey, these are students, this is an educational assignment, you're not getting this top tier agency to build your site, but you're not paying anything for it, or maybe you are, maybe just a very little denomination, but how do you control the expectations of both the client and the student?
So I have to say, the websites that our students have made have been pretty phenomenal, to the point where, like, I have the agencies, organizations always come back and say, I can't believe this was a high school student or high school students that put these all together. And I do tell them when I meet with them, because I meet with the agency first, just to kind of get a ballpark of what they're looking for, the time frame, if that's something that we can even fit. But I always say, you know, this is an educational institution. These are students, they are learning. So there's a lot going to go back and forth as far as questions for them to learn, but they become kind of like the business owner for the website. So after I've met with the agency, they meet with the students and tell them what they want to happen, show them the old website. We do some research on other agencies or organizations that are similar to what they do, so they can get an idea of what types of links they could have, and what fun things they can do with their website to get people enticed to go there. So once that happens, I connect the agency with the students to kind of go over what the expectations are. And then from there, the students take over. So they have access to email. So they email the agency and organizations with questions so that they get to know what it feels like to have a client and hear what the client questions are. And sometimes they're like, well, how the heck am I supposed to even do that? I don't even have the information. So it really becomes like real life, because yeah, when you have clients, and I tell them that, like when I design a logo, I'll usually give like 2 to 3. And like sometimes the one that I think is like the most amazing one, they don't end up picking, and they pick like the ugliest one. I was like, but at the end of the day, they're the client.
Right.
So I'm like, so those are the things you need to expect that it's going to happen in the real world. What you think that the client wants might be something that's totally different.
And are most of these students Let me reframe the question. So where do you see most of your students pursuing jobs in which verticals? Do you see a lot of them going into sort of web design and becoming their own boss and sort of going in that freelance consultant route, or do they take jobs at other agencies? Like, where do they go after they have this skill set?
They go in so many different directions. I'm not even kidding. We had students go into web development. We have students going into graphic design. So they learn some Photoshop, and they just like the design elements. So I have a student right now at UMass Dartmouth taking graphic design. I have students who have gone into nursing afterwards. I've had students go into accounting. One of my students that I keep in touch with very often, she graduated from Bryant, and she's working at one of the largest accounting firms for the country. So they go all over the place. A lot of them go into business. Some go into office administration, into real estate. They're everywhere. There isn't like one particular field that they go into. Students go in, I mean, it really is an array. Some go into marketing for business, but the great thing I always hear is that they feel that they're well prepared when they when they continue their education or their career.
What about the businesses that apply to be a part of this program? How do they get access to you, and do you have to deny people coming in because there is just so much already, so many people looking for these types of services and support?
So a lot of it is word of mouth, but then they get approved by our vocational coordinator, who reviews any requests for jobs that are going to be taking on with the school, so that way they know what's happening. And then we kind of review what the best project is for that particular year. Sometimes it's two projects because we have an A week and a B week. So I have a group of students for 2 weeks, and then they go to academics, and then we switch. So 1 year, because we had two great agencies that we thought we could fulfill their needs, one cycle took one website, and then the other cycle took the other one. So we were able to work with two different agencies.
Awesome. I'm curious. I'm always curious to understand how Fall River businesses and entrepreneurs can get together more. Right, when I am constantly looking at my friends in the New Bedford area, it seems like there's just so much more, I don't know, energy. I don't know if that's the right word, but
energy is a good word.
camaraderie. Like, there just seems to be more, I guess, initiative. And I'm sitting here in Fall River going, why don't we have more of this here? I know it's a spicy subject, but do you have any thoughts on how, you know, the business community, the entrepreneur, the creative community can come together more and do like a downtown New Bedford Inc. and have that same kind of pulse in the Fall River section?
Well, when I was the co-op coordinator, one of the things that I really wanted to get involved was the business after hours with our chamber. I think they're critical to bringing businesses together. I think there was a lot of change in the Chamber of Commerce, but I think if we can help kind of revitalize and get businesses more involved, because we have a beautiful waterfront and we have so many opportunities here to bring businesses together. I mean, it's funny because when I talk about Diamond and some of the stuff that we do, people are still amazed that even live in the city and have no idea of the things that that are available. I mean, even that gentleman who graduated from Diamond didn't even know we had business tech until he came back and said, oh, I'm going to hire someone in metal fab. And then the gentleman who was now the co-op coordinator was like, oh, do you want to check out business tech? And he's like, what the heck is that? So it's amazing how many people still don't know of the valuable opportunities that we have in our city. I think the chamber is a crucial component of getting everyone together.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I also feel that the business owners at some point, should be able to, kickstart. I mean, with all the tools, I mean, aside from, of course, this whole COVID pandemic and literally not be able to meet in person because it's not even legal to do that right now. but aside from that, I really feel like there should be more initiative from the business owners in the South, in Fall River, to join forces and get their own meetups going, right? Meetup.com, Facebook groups, like build this opportunity to come together and meet more on a higher cadence, right? And let's just get things moving. I agree that the chamber's there. I feel like sometimes it could be a little slow to get them involved with a Fall River focus, especially now that they're this one South Coast unit. But I think there's a lot of opportunity there. Tell me a little bit more about the Greater Fall River Recreation Program. Is that an initiative for just the youth of Fall River? Give us the framework for that.
It's mainly for our youth programs. I mean, if you want to compare it to something, it'd be similar to like a Boys and Girls Club, YMCA. So they provide affordable programs for the youth in the Greater Fall River area. So they'll do like ballet, soccer. They're actually starting a food pantry there right now. They do a lot of community events. So they're involved with the Christmas parade that happens in December, the Santa dinner. The kickoff to summer, they're responsible for the lunch programs that happen during the summer. So it's mainly targeted towards our youth and providing affordable opportunities for them.
That's awesome. It's got a fairly big Facebook page as well. 5,800.
Yes. I mean, we are in the community and we're very heavily involved. Our executive director, Grace, she's amazing. Our board is very involved. And we just try to find innovative ways to provide opportunities for those that otherwise probably wouldn't have the opportunity to participate in ballet or soccer or gymnastics. Sure. So every season we have instructors that come in and teach our students some cool stuff. Sometimes it's cooking, sometimes it's characters. So we just want to be able to, like I said, give youth in our community some opportunities that they otherwise probably wouldn't have.
Let's switch to our sort of third topic of the conversation. And I'm interested to learn about how you approach web design, maybe web development, managing clients, that kind of thing. What's your favorite type of software to use to build sites? And what's your go-to source for, you know, creative inspiration?
Oh boy. So I do like Dreamweaver because it's not like a whole unit on web development. So our students learn some coding, some HTML coding, so that they can go in the back end of a platform. So we use WordPress for them to build their websites. And then they troubleshoot if something's not working, they go into the coding and fix it. As far as for me, what I use for creative inspiration, I use Google a lot. Google is my friend. Yeah. So I go online, I check out images. I use my friends. I have some, I'm fortunate enough to work with individuals who also teach in graphic communication. So I have some really great friends who are graphic designers. So I bounce my ideas and my thoughts off of them. One of the great things about working in the nonprofit world is we're a pretty tight community. And Greater Fall River Recreate, I mean, everything that I work for is nonprofit. So I've built, I think, a great group of professionals and friends that I'm always constantly sending them ideas and saying, hey, what do you think of this? Or what's your approach on this? And they're pretty honest with me. When it's not a good idea, they tell me.
Yeah.
And the same, when they think it's a great idea, they're like, yes, let's go with it. So I think my networks are my main thing, and closely is Google there.
Yeah.
Because, as great as Google is, they don't know the Greater Fall River community.
Right.
So
yeah.
I have to approach it from the end of something that's going to excite people in this area.
When you look at small business websites, you know, at large, especially in the South Coast area, you know, it's funny with this whole, well, it's not funny, but through this whole pandemic, I had so many people coming back to me like, hey, could you help me put up a website now? Because now I need one. And it was just like, I've been telling you this for 10 years. Like, I've been telling you to do this for 10 years. Why did you wait so long. You know, it's all of a sudden technology and the and websites and online ordering and form capture and e-commerce and membership sites are all coming back into light because people are now turning to that and saying, wow, I need to do something to create opportunity. Are there like one, two, or three things that you look at? Whenever you look at a business website, you say, you got to have these one, two, or three things on your site for it to be a well-built site?
Well, one of the things that I always tell my students is people don't like to click. they want it quick and simple. Like this thing of clicking here to click there to click to the next thing. The less clicking, the happier the person is. So one of the main things that I say is I tell them to think about what the agency, who the client is, what are the three most important things, two to three most important things that client does for their customers. And that should be somewhere on the homepage where people can access it. It's funny because I do see a lot of the students when they build a website, sometimes they have like imagery and they have like the three main things at the bottom for people to connect to link. So whether it's a nonprofit and one of the things that they need to run is donations, maybe that's a link. What programs that they offer to register, registration is a link. So I always tell them to think about like when you go to a particular site, what would be the top three reasons why you would go there? And that should be somewhere on your homepage so that people have access to it. And then the other thing that I tell them is people don't necessarily like to read and a picture is worth
people
a thousand words.
Don't like to do anything.
So I said a picture is worth a thousand words. So if you can do something with a picture that translates into a paragraph, use the picture and then put a small caption that goes along with it. The other thing is that I have that I talk about students when it comes to as far as like, I guess, e-commerce or ways of registration is that people prefer to just complete stuff online as opposed to downloading the forms, completing it, and then submitting it. So one of the things that I tell them is if you can do this as an online form or some form of an online payment, then you need to move in that direction because people don't want to take a second step. Once they're there, they want to do what they need to do and get it over and done with. So if a donation, if it's something that you could do a PayPal so people can donate online as opposed to taking a person's address and then having them to write a check, the old school way, I said, we want to make it as convenient as possible and stay consistent. So colors and fonts should look throughout. You shouldn't look at a website and think that five different people designed it.
Right.
You want to think that one person designed it.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's awesome stuff. Suzanne, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate the time you spent today. I love what you're doing, of course, at Diamond and the 3,000 other jobs that you have. where can folks find you to say thanks?
They can find me on Facebook, Suzanne Raposo Ramos. You can email me at my Diamond account, sramos@diamondregional.org, or the other three jobs. You will find me there. But thank you again for having me. What you're doing is amazing. I think one of the biggest things that our communities need to thrive are small businesses, and that's what keeps us running. And in order to do that, you also need to have quality employees. So it's really great that you're promoting the school that I work at, but there's other schools, obviously, in vocational education. But this creates opportunities for students to, you know, be responsible American citizens and get a good paying job and be able to stand on their own two feet.
Absolutely. Thank you. Everyone else, southcoast.fm/subscribe to join that mailing list. It's the number one way to stay connected. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps us get found. You can find it at southcoast.fm/subscribe. Click the link to iTunes or Spotify, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll hear you and see you in the next episode.